Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination.
Letitia.
A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. Since Charles Akei, who's to be our guest this afternoon, is not here, why don't you go ahead and call in? We'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because this may be an open line program, so we're certainly hoping and praying our guest will be here, but if not, why, it's just going to be you and me. And I have absolutely nothing planned to talk about, so why don't I talk a little bit about what I've found as I'm putting together a talk on water fluoridation. And you know, this is really the most incredible story. And if you haven't yet read The Fluoride Deception, let me suggest Chris Bryson's excellent book. How did it get to be where we are today? The water in 67% of the communities across America is being fluoridated when it doesn't do a bit of good. Now, of course, you talk to your dentist, he will tell you that everybody knows that water fluoridation decreases cavities. But, you see, there have been studies that have been done going back to 1945. And where they actually fluoridated the water in Newburgh, and then there was a place called Kensington in New York where they also did not fluoridate the water. That was to be the control area. And so 50 years later, why, they actually compared dentition in those two communities. And now you have to understand that over the last 50 years, why, dental health has improved tremendously. I mean, there are far fewer cavities or caries in children and in adults today than there were 50 years ago. But it has happened, the improvement has happened in both fluoridated and non-fluoridated cities. And if you compare the study that was done in Newburgh to Kensington on 15-year-olds, and this was actually done in 1995 and published in 1998, you'll find that the dental health in Newburgh is better where they don't have fluoridated water. It's better in Kensington than it is in Newburgh, where they do fluoridate the water. So, we fortunately have Charles Akei, so you're not going to have to hear a monologue, but I will tell you one thing, and that is that in the cities where the water is fluoridated, they double the incidence of heart disease. And America has the highest incidence of heart disease in the world. And, of course, in Europe, the only country that begins to be comparable as Ireland, and that's the city, that is the country where they fluoridate the water. Well, that is the background. Let's go to Charles Akei. Charles, so good to hear from you.
Hey, good to be with you again, Dr. Monty.
And, of course, those of you who remember the past when Charles Akei was a frequent guest on our program, and, of course, he was a representative in the legislature and certainly in Oklahoma, and he risked everything to try to get the truth out about what really happened on April 19th, 1995, with the bombing of the Oklahoma building, the Murrah building. And, of course, every effort has been made to conceal the truth about what happened. Charles Akei put together a wonderful monograph. Do you still have copies of that?
Yeah, we're actually getting close to running out of them, but we do have some left.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest today is Charles Key, and of course he has been working, going out for a decade now, trying to get the truth out on what really happened at the time of the Oklahoma City bombing, because the American people have never been told the truth. Certainly, Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh were involved, but the major part of that story has been carefully concealed from the American people. So, Charles, why don't you pick up the story, what you have learned with your extensive evaluation and certainly an investigation, not only your own, but that of other people who are concerned. Charles, what haven't the people learned? Charles, are you still there? Charles Key, are you there? I wonder if we've lost Charles. Charles?
Hello.
Hello, go ahead. Yes, go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell us, what you've learned, on all these years? Because you were at this almost full-time for, 6 or 7 years.
Well, I even had to take about a year and a half or two off until just, the latter part of this year, because it just wore me out being so involved in this for the first about 7 years or so. I think it's an education you can't get, you don't really want to get, but the information continues to come out about the Oklahoma City bombing. We continue to find out more and more through various intentional acts or sometimes accidental actions that take place. Some people come forward with more information. And there's going to be some very interesting programming, primarily by Fox National News, over this weekend on Saturday and especially on Sunday evening. People should watch for that because they're going to do some very good programming. Not sure on the West Coast what the time is, but there's about 3 hours at least of programming that's going to cover the Oklahoma City bombing quite a bit.
All right, fine. Well, now, what can they bring up that we already don't know? After all, it was Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh, or is there much more to the story than that?
There's much more to it than that. The real answer to the Oklahoma City bombing story, for those that haven't heard about it or are new to this kind of information, is that it was a sting operation that went wrong. And why did it go wrong is one of the questions. There's two theories that I hold.
Hold that thought right now, because we're going to bring all of our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon, representative or former representative Charles Key, a man of really integrity who risked everything to try to get the truth out to the American people about what happened on April 19th, 1995, with the bombing of the Murrah Building. Had that bombing been handled correctly, had the truth come out, why there never would have been a September 11th, because certainly there's no question at all that there was an Islamic radical terrorist component to what was going on. What's your thought on this whole thing?
Well, there's no question in my mind that it was a sting operation that went wrong. But some would like to believe and hold the opinion that it was just an incompetent screw-up, if I could put it that way, by those in our government at the FBI and the Justice Department. And it just blew up figuratively and literally in their faces and therefore everybody else's. But when you really look at it, there's still some very questions that would, I think, very likely and very possibly tell us that there were died that knew what was going on, that wanted it to happen, much like a Pearl Harbor, when FDR and some in our government knew that we were going to be attacked by the Japanese. And much like what we've seen now in 9/11, that there's so much information that would indicate that they knew enough and that they were warning other people, but they certainly didn't try to stop it, and they allowed it to happen. And a lot of people think that that Oklahoma City was a precursor to 9/11, that it really supposed to be one of either the event or one of several events that would bring about some serious change in the way believed in this country about security matters and terrorism and things like that.
And allow ever more government control of our lives in the name of fighting those wicked terrorists.
And whether or not that's true or not, that some intentionally did it or not, the net result is the same for all of us law-abiding citizens.
Well, what do we know about, what haven't we been told? Certainly there's the question of the third hijacker and his identity and his involvement have been intentionally concealed by the government. They seized the videos outside the Murrow Building, and they won't let anybody see them, just like they won't let anybody see the videos were taken outside the Pentagon, on 9/11. They just will not allow the American people, and if there's nothing to see them, and if there's nothing to conceal, why are they still concealing those videos from the Murrow Building in the name of national security?
Well, my understanding is they recently gave Fox News an answer when Fox News said, hey, all the trials are gone, that's 10 years, it's all over with. And they said, oh, there's an ongoing investigation. Well, as you know, as well as anybody, because you've covered this since the very beginning, they've had it both ways like that for many years now. And since the trials have been gone, they've said, well, now there's no ongoing investigation, and now there is. There's not, there is. And they just use excuses to their convenience whenever they need them or want to use them.
But how can we trust a government where they have people who lie? In other words, if they'll lie about that, what else will they lie about?
That's right, and that's the problem, and that's why it needs to be addressed. And that's why we keep fighting this battle, and we're going to keep fighting it forever, as long as we're alive, until we get enough satisfaction in the form of people being held accountable inside our government and those that were outside of our government that participated in this act and other ones like it. You can't trust them. You just can't.
Well, of course, the thing is that, if somebody really messed up in the FBI, that they should be fired and they should be exposed and they should be let go. But nobody is ever fired. Nobody was fired, after the Oklahoma City bombing. I mean, 3,000 people died on September 11th and nobody was responsible. It was just a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Oklahoma City. And for people that, again, are new to this, the FBI and Justice Department, the federal government, didn't catch anyone in the Oklahoma City case. McVeigh is only in custody because a highway patrolman pulled him over. And Terry Nichols turned himself in, saying he was innocent. And that's the open and shut case as far as the federal government's concerned. They did nothing except spend a lot of money and make a lot of excuses. And, the people that died in that building... Another angle on this is they deserve better than what's happened. And that's another motivation for a lot of people to continue to stay involved in this, is that to remember their names in a lie like this is something that some people won't put up with.
Well, I was reading just on the Internet today that the grandmother of two children who died there wanted to go visit Terry Nichols. He said he would be glad to talk to her, and the government won't allow her to go into the prison to talk to him.
I just heard about that. Isn't that ridiculous? Absolutely, absolutely disgusting. It's unacceptable. They've got so much to hide, and it's so obvious because they do things like that. They won't release the videos. They won't run the fingerprints. Another thing that should shock everyone about this case that doesn't know it is that of all the fingerprints they took in this case, which number 1,034, they didn't run those fingerprints against their national database of 30-some-odd million fingerprints, as they always do in a capital case. They didn't do it. That's not just somebody's theory. That came out in the federal trials of Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols in Denver. And the reason they gave is because it cost too much money, supposedly. I kind of halfway felt sorry for the FBI agent that got called to the witness stand that had to go through the grilling of the defense attorneys for this particular topic. And they asked him, he said, well, his superior said it was too expensive.
Well, they spent I don't know how much money. I mean, first of all, certainly Stephen Jones, the defense attorney, they gave him, $14-15 million to investigate, the case, and then they wouldn't let him bring any of the evidence out in the trial. I mean, the tie-in to the Islamic terrorists over in the Philippines, which he had followed through on, Timothy McVeigh's relationship to the special forces, which he tried to bring out, which he actually did bring out, but of course, totally blocked out by the controlled media.
Mm-hmm. Timothy McVeigh, this is one of my, so to speak, favorite topics within this subject, is the letters that he wrote to his sister, and the one in particular in which he told her he was being recruited along with a number of other special forces recruits to be in a special group And I'm trying to, I forget the exact name that he gave it, but it's like a black ops type group that would do drug introduction and assassination of drug lords and other individuals. And they were taken to a special meeting to be recruited and discuss this. Well, Tim McVeigh wasn't one that just boasted and made stories up, and that's what the people that knew him all his life that were interviewed and even testified in the trials all said that. He wasn't a liar. He wasn't a boastful person. I think there's something to that story, and it makes me wonder very seriously if Tim McVeigh thought he was carrying out some type of a plan, a program that he was put onto by some in our own government.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that when Stephen Jones, the defense attorney, opened his defense of Timothy McVeigh, he told that story about, you know, Timothy McVeigh saying he was associated with this secret special forces unit that was involved, I think, in illegal activity, and the media totally blacked that out. There's not one person in America who ever saw that on television because he just didn't carry it. Why? I mean, that would have been a very interesting, titillating bit of information, even if it wasn't true.
Right. Certainly would have been made for good press and got more viewers and readers in the media. They didn't want to touch that one, though. But, and you know, another thing about the media is, in a day and age when Rodney King and all the other examples of somebody leaving their kids in a car locked up while they go, you know, do some grocery shopping and all kinds of things, somebody takes a video of that, and it's instantly plugged into video players all over America, and we can see it on every TV screen. After 10 years, we still can't see the surveillance videos, which there are at least 24 from that immediate area that we know of, according to the court record, including the ones right on the Murrah building itself and the ones right across the street. The American people still can't see those, even though you can see all these other things that happen before there's ever any charges or a trial.
Well, of course, they would show the John Doe 2, and that's the one thing the government doesn't want anybody to know about is John Doe 2. In fact, why would the government be protecting somebody who was involved in this bombing with all those people being killed?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever about this statement that I'm getting ready to make, that the whole reason they don't go down the path to identify the other John Does, and that's plural because there's a number of them, not just one other individual, is because it will reveal that one or more of those people, and I think it's probably at least two, were government agents and or government paid informants.
But of course, weren't they also Iraqis?
Iraqis also. You discover those two things, and it tells you it causes the government many big problems. If you have informants and agents that were undercover, that shows that they had knowledge of this, and then the questions begin about in regard to why didn't they stop it, how did they fail not to stop it, et cetera, et cetera.
And, you know, it's so interesting. You fast forward then to 2001, and we're told, oh, we couldn't infiltrate any of the Islamic movements. We didn't have any agents in any of the Islamic movements. We've infiltrated the whole Islamic movement. They just can't tell the American people that. And John Doe 2 and 3, whatever they were, you know, were somehow tied in, I believe, into some sort of a government operation because the government has consistently protected them.
Well, and because, you know, the other part of that equation is the Middle Eastern connection to this, is there were individuals that there were several thousand Iraqi soldiers in addition to some Kurds and their family members of these Iraqi soldiers and Kurds and other Iraqi civilians were given asylum in this country after the first Desert Storm War. And one reporter and one investigator has identified one of the John Does at least as being one of those Iraqi soldiers.
So there's so much more to the story than the average American is being told, and you're not going to hear this being discussed, you know, on the major television networks, because what if you don't know it or not, why five mega corporations dominate the television networks, and they all carry the same stories. Oh, they pretend to be right and left and bringing in the real inside information. Well, I'm fascinated that Fox is even going to touch this subject, and I hope that you're going to tape that. If we don't get I won't get a chance to see it because I'll be away, but I hope that you'll be able to report back what's covered this weekend on Fox.
Certainly will. Glad to do it.
Hey, Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened to TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Charles Key. Charles, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they want to get that beautiful syllabus that you've put together, pictures, and really anybody who reads that and gets the information? There can be no question at all that we have not been told the truth. Other people were involved, and the government knew about that, and there was an Islamic connection, and, of course, had it been handled properly, why we would have gotten the whole story, and everything has been done to conceal that from the American people. So how can people get in touch with you and get the information?
Well, they can call 405-470-1231, and I'll give that number again in a minute, but I want to describe the final report. It's a 576-page book that's 8.5 by 11. It is in a report format. It's not a story that we told about what happened to us or anything like that. It's very categorically everything you'd ever want to know about the bombing, including affidavits and all the facts with people's names. Experts put their credibility and their names on the line to analyze the building and the damage to the building. It has 50 color photos and diagrams, and those aren't just for pretty pictures. Those have to do with showing very clearly why the experts can tell that the truck bomb, the alleged truck bomb that did all the damage alone, could not have possibly done that amount of damage or that pattern of damage by itself. And so this covers from the time the feds took McVeigh into custody and presented their case in the court for the in the preliminary hearing about 8 or 9 days after the Oklahoma City bombing to justify their charges against him, all the way to just before 9/11. And so it's everything you'd ever want to know about the Oklahoma City bombing, and it's very factually based. It's the information that we gathered and others that was of a quality that would be brought before a grand jury or a trial jury. It's not all a bunch of hearsay evidence. And the number they could call is 405-470-1231, or they can go to our website.
I'll give that telephone number one more time.
405-470-1231, and they can also go to our website, which is okcbombing.org. OKC, like Oklahoma City, okcbombing.org. And if they want to go to the internet, they forget that or don't get it written down, you could probably look my name up or look up the Oklahoma City bombing on the internet and find the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee. There'll be the same phone number there where you could contact me.
All right, fine. Now I understand that you're having a big meeting or some sort of something happening here very, very soon where a lot of the people who researched this through the years are getting together. What's the background of that?
Well, thank God for one individual. I'm going to give him a lot of credit for getting involved in this, for learning about the case. And like so many people, you know, some things people stumble across and they don't brush themselves off and walk away like Winston Churchill said most people do. They have a wake-up call, and they dig in deeper, and then they start getting they get more involved in finding out the truth about a lot of things. And a man named Chris Emery did that several years ago, and he began to work with us, and because of him, he's helped keep things going here in Oklahoma City. He said he wanted to help put something together for the 10th anniversary, and it started out as kind of a modest event, and it turned into its own got its own life and turned into a pretty big event. On the 19th, which is next Tuesday, we have a dinner reception at the big convention center in downtown Oklahoma City with Congressman Bob Barr coming. And then the next day, on the 20th, which is Wednesday, we have an all-day speakers forum from about 8:30 in the morning till it's probably going to go till 9:30 or 10 at night before we shut down. There's quite a number of speakers, about a dozen or so, directly involved in the bombing, like attorneys that have filed suits and still have suits ongoing, investigators, some survivors of the bombing, like V.Z. Lawton and Jane Graham. We also have some journalists that will be there. We also have three different people coming, or I should say four, I think it is, that are directly involved in the 9/11 case, and they're going to speak about the 9/11 case, but also how it relates and connects to the Oklahoma City bombing. One of those speakers is Phil Berg, who is one of the attorneys that's filed a suit against the government for its failures in the 9/11 case. Another speaker, I should name a few of these people, Craig Roberts, who's been on your program many times,
right?
Author of the Medusa Files, is going to be there. It's going to be very, very interesting and enlightening.
All right, fine. Well, I think you wish I could come, but unfortunately I have to do my radio programs.
Yeah, I wish you could be here.
But anyway, I will be there with you in spirit anyway, and we'll talk to you afterwards and get the information. So we're going to have to take a break here. When we get back, we'll invite your calls from across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Because we will never get the truth about what happened on September 11th till we have the truth about Oklahoma City. A
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable. Through regular sources, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. BHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is Charles Key, and well, we've got a few guests here. We've got Fred calling in from Salinas, and Fred, good to hear from you, and I got the material you sent me on Senator Imhoff's speech. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Do you have a question for our guest?
I wanted to ask your guest, I have a large amount of information about a man named Grover Norquist.
That's
founder of the Islamic Institute. Do you know anything about him at all?
Do you know?
A little bit, not much.
All right, fine. I don't think he was really tied into that. I know Grover personally. Certainly, he's one of the conservative leaders there in Washington, D.C., and I don't think he ever should have taken any money from the Muslims. Do you have anything specific?
No, I was just looking at a massive amount of information I had about him, and I was just wondering if he knew anything about him at all.
No, I don't think it really ties into Oklahoma City as such. But thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Let's go to Mike calling in Santa Cruz. Mike, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, a little of both. Regarding the video footage that they're not showing us, I think more than John Doe number one or two or three or whatever. The videos would show that they didn't get their bombs synchronized all that well. You know, in the beginning of the news coverage, they were talking about two explosions, and then they decided they better just start talking about one. And so I think the video would show, first of all, that probably the fascia coming off, and then sometime after that, the building coming down. It would show some discrepancy in there.
Well, what we need to see it, Mike. We can only conjecture otherwise.
Well, down that vein, I just want to ask your guest if any seismic records had ever shown up that would reveal anything like that. As far as I know, they went around and rounded up all the seismic records.
What about the seismographs, the earthquake evidence?
Exactly. The seismic records do show that, and the seismologists who were MIT educated, among other seismologists there locally, said that the most reasonable, these are the exact words that he told me, he said the most reasonable explanation is more than one explosion of the seismographic records. Now, in addition to that, you have numerous people that survived the bombing, like V.Z. Lawton, Jane Graham, Jack Gobin, and others that were in the building, and they survived it because they all said that when they felt the building starting to tremble, they said either to themselves or to others that were in classes, depending on the situation, that there must be an earthquake, get under your desk. And they credit that with saving their lives. Now,
I think what you're saying is that the building began to tremble. They got under the desk, and then the explosion came from outside. So there was something else going on before the outside explosion. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, exactly. That's
right.
And a lot of people don't understand ballistics and explosions and things of that nature. And to further interpret that, when a truck bomb goes off, even if it's 9 stories below you, it doesn't take 5, 6, 7 seconds to reach you in the 9th floor. It reaches you immediately. So when there's this trembling going on, it indicates, just like Dr. Monteith just said, that there's something going on, and it's very similar to, if not exactly like, demolition charges, just as you'll see when they take down old buildings, going off prior to the truck bomb going off.
Now, what spacing do the seismic records show? Is it just the time lapse between explosions or the peaks in the record?
Well, if I remember right, and Dr. Monteith, you might remember this because I know you've looked at it in years past too, I think they're showing 4 to 6 seconds in between the two explosions is the estimation that the seismologists make. But the seismograms also are not exact representations of something like that time. They're close, they're accurate, but they're not exact. So you couldn't really put an exact number like 5 seconds on it, but you could estimate 4 to 8 seconds, for example.
And I think that's pretty good. There were obviously two explosions, Mike. No question. Hey, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Let's go to Ralph calling in from Oklahoma. Hi, Ralph.
Yes, Dr. Sam. Yes, Charles, on Jana Davis, I've heard her a couple of times as a guest speaker, and unless it's just my perception, she seems to be totally compromised on the whole issue.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, this is because Jana doesn't really want to get into the FBI protection of, I think, the other John Doe 2 and 3. Charles, what would your comment be to Ralph calling from Oklahoma?
Well, on one hand, Jane has done a good job of tracking, going down that trail of Middle Eastern terrorists and has done a lot of great work, but she really makes some big mistakes when she tries to, in effect, become an apologist for the FBI and the government in some other areas and in some other ways. And I think that's a failure from somebody that's done a great job as an investigator and then doesn't use the same kind of methodology when it comes to making an overall judgment about those same agencies and individuals that have been involved in the Oklahoma City case and 9/11 and the others in between.
Well, I think we owe her a debt of gratitude for her research and what she's done, and she's come under tremendous attack and got sued. But I share with you your concern on the other issue. But so it's a mixed bag, Ralph. But I think she's done a great job. But I wish she'd come out and really look at the obvious, and that is the government somehow is covering up for
the
truth.
Well, that's the part that seemed to have escaped. But anyway, Governor Keating, what is, I've still got tapes of him saying about the other bombs and all of this and that, and we're going to get to the bottom of this, and then he's denied that. Since then.
Well, what's your thought on Governor Keating? And, of course, for our listeners out there, Governor Keating was an FBI agent before he was sent or transferred or or went to Oklahoma and became the governor there. So he certainly is very not the most forthright individual or independent individual. And, of course, he was very, very critical of Representative Key, and certainly he did, I believe, he participated in the cover-up. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%. I mean, Keating worked his way up in the Justice Department from an FBI agent to a U.S. attorney to being a higher official in the United States Justice Department and became the number two man in the Housing and Urban Development when Jack Kemp was there. He's been a federal agent for a long time. That's one thing I think that needs to be seriously considered in his performance in the Oklahoma City case. But also, you know, when we talk about politics in general at any level, state level, national level, but you hear this a lot of times at the state level about a, quote, good old boy system, and that really just refers to people, a lot of people, when they get into government, whether it's an agency or it's elective office like in a legislature, they become part of a system. They see themselves, they consciously kind of make that decision that they've got to then become part of that organization and that agency, and they take up for each other instead of do the job that they're really supposed to do, which is oversight, et cetera, et cetera. And that's simply, trying to put it simply, that's what Keating did. He just participated in the good old boy system of looking out over each other's shoulder and taking up for friends and buddies that he'd had in the past and going along with the system instead of being independent and really addressing this case for what it, you know, what it really was all about and what really had happened, and then being honest and forthright about it with the Oklahoma and American people. I think he had other designs. He had a career he still wanted to pursue, and he was very interested in being a part of the George Bush administration in his first administration, and that didn't work out. So he Keating's a guy with he's pretty slick. He's in Oklahoma,
a lot of
people call him a country club version of Bill Clinton, just a real slick guy.
Can I
hold the phone
for a minute, Ralph?
No, we're going to be going. Thanks very much, Ralph. Let's go to Mike calling in from Orange County. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good reception today.
I'm glad to hear that.
Strong. I was just reminded a few years ago, I was coming back from Mesquite, Nevada, just a few days after the bombing, and there was a General May, I think his name was, on the local station there in Las Vegas, and his whole career in the Army was ordnance and bombs.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're not talking about Ben Park now, yet.
I don't think so.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, it's been so many years ago, it's hard to remember. I thought his name was General May, but he was saying, from the viewing the video right away, it was impossible for that bomb in the parking lot to take the front of the building down.
I think that was probably Ben Parton. What are your thoughts on that, Charles?
Well, there's a number of experts in our final report that we were talking about. We've got about a half a dozen of them that have impeccable, you know, credentials and long background of having experience in this area. And there are a number of experts who, as a matter of fact, we could fill that, have filled a book that size with just experts giving their opinions and testimonies. So it wasn't, the ones we have in our report, in our book, are not the only ones. So he may very well have heard another individual, because I know there are many others out there that we talk to.
Okay, anything else, Mike?
No, that's all.
Okay, thanks so much. Let's go to Mike, Mark. This is Mark in Nevada. And again, I tell the phone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Mark in Nevada, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. It's an honor to speak with Representative Key. A friend of mine actually gave me a tape that has you speaking on it. It was before the Prophecy Club, I think, from OKC to 9/11. It was phenomenal, I'll say. My question, I noticed that there was some activity surrounding, or there's a juxtaposition between activity in Oklahoma in 9/11. For example, Zacharias Moussaoui or some acquaintances of him seem to have ran into that Nick Berg, who was beheaded down in Oklahoma. And I was just wondering, are there any other, and then it's my understanding perhaps some of the hijackers had their tickets purchased by some people affiliated with, like, the University of Oklahoma. And I was wondering, is there any figures that were, is there a nexus between any figures who were involved in the Oklahoma City bombing in 9/11?
All right. Do you know of any of the connections that Mark is referring to?
Well, this gets a little bit more involved in the Middle Eastern connection in the Oklahoma City case and how it relates directly to 9/11. But there are some seeming connections. The ones that we can really talk about, we've touched on a little bit already, and that is all the many eyewitnesses. A number of those describe the John Doe or John Doe that they saw as being Middle Eastern. And even in two or three cases, they heard them speak in a Middle Eastern dialect while they were in the company of Timothy McVeigh. And when you kind of start going into some of these areas that the caller was referring to, there seems to be some other connections, or if it's not, it's awfully odd coincidence that right here in Oklahoma there were people that were involved or connected to the 9/11 case, apparently, that spent a lot of time right here in Oklahoma. Again, Jana Davis has done a lot of great work in this area, and I think it needs to be looked at. I know, because I've talked to many of the witnesses that she uses in her work, that saw McVeigh with other individuals that were of Middle Eastern descent and were speaking a Middle Eastern dialect. So there's a whole lot more to that, I believe, and it needs to. The bottom line is some of us have worked with each other over the years, meaning investigators, people of interest in this that maybe lost loved ones and that then became investigators by getting involved in this. As we all worked together, there became disagreements on some certain details of the case from time to time, and that's probably a natural thing. But the thing that we all agree on, and I think that all Americans should be unified on, not just in Oklahoma City, but on anything, is that we deserve to know the truth, and we deserve to have our FBI, our Justice Department, and our whole government do the job they're supposed to do, and that is protect us, public safety, and do their jobs the way they're supposed to be done, and not hide and cover up information about crimes like this one and others.
Amen.
And they've done that. And that's what they need to be held accountable for. We need to stay unified on that. And when we get the truth and the facts, it'll tell us whether there's Middle Eastern or not. You know, there won't be problems with finding out the people that were responsible for this if we just get to the facts. And that's what they're covering up.
Amen to that. Hey, but thank you so very much, Mark, and I think that's a very interesting Berg and Massawi, and that is one of the most fascinating parts of this whole thing. Zacharias Massawi, for our listeners, was the gentleman, the 20th hijacker, who was supposedly up in Minneapolis learning how to fly a 747, but he didn't want to learn how to take off or land, and that was pretty obvious why he was being trained as a suicide bomber. But, of course, you know, according to Massawi, he was tracked by the FBI from the moment he got into this country. That's what he said in public, and we have this from a number of sources. And then he goes down to the flight school in Norman, Oklahoma, not too far from Oklahoma City, and he does so poorly, you know, he can't even fly a single-engine plane. They give him his money back. But while he's there, he runs into a fellow named Nicholas Berg, who was the fellow who got beheaded over there and supposedly by the Islamic terrorists over in Iraq. But, you know, what was Berg doing over in Iraq, you know, selling cell phones? And, you know, did he know too much? Was he really beheaded by the Iraqis, or the last people who had him in custody were the Americans? So who knows what's really going on? There's so much to this story, and I wish somebody would really have the courage to come forward, but, well, they might end up like Nicholas Berg did if they did. Anyway, we've only got about 2 minutes left, Charles. What message would you like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I hope people will, you know, we've got, thank God, and I really appreciate the people over time that have stayed connected with us and helped us keep going, because that's the only way we've kept going is people have supported us with encouragement and other ways. And I would encourage people to get a copy of the final report. We've also got some DVDs and tapes they could get. And some of the people that continue to stay plugged into the Oklahoma City case, they also take those DVDs, those videos, the final report,
and they buy some ever so often just to give to their friends, and just to enlighten and wake people up. And that's what I would hope people would do. You know, we're not trying to sell books or tapes or videos, but you need to wake people up around you in your sphere of influence, and there are many ways to do that. This is one of them, and I hope people will do that. I know so many people out there that listen to your program are doing that, but that's what we need to do. There's a very fast-moving awakening in this country. I don't know if it's going to take care of the problems we have in this country in time.
Well, all we can do is do our best tonight.
We have to try, and I know it's moving very quickly, and if people will be encouraged by that and work hard, we can take back our country and keep it from being taken over by those that want to destroy it.
Well, I appreciate everything you do, Charles, and I hope you'll come on some of our other programs right after this this big conference you're going to have, and hope there'll be a lot of new information coming.
And by the way, we are recording all of that, so it will be available to people sometime in the near future.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course we just want to mention that we do have a four-tape set on what happened in Oklahoma City, and then we have a four-tape set, the Oklahoma City Update. And then, of course, we have two videos, Oklahoma City, cover-up in Oklahoma, and then, of course, an interview with Kerry Gagin, who actually was an FBI undercover agent, and he brought the explosives into town, at least this is his story, and, of course, he is in prison now. Why? Well, you'll see the interview before he went to prison. Because they cannot allow the American people to know the truth. So you can get all of these four together, the two videos and the two four-tape set as part of the Oklahoma City special. You have to understand Oklahoma City before you can understand what really took place on the 11th of September 2001. Why? Because, of course, they tried to convince us. They just had no idea what they were doing. They were just bungling idiots, and they weren't. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and as I was just telling our local listeners, we do have an Oklahoma City special. It's a four-tape set on Oklahoma City interviews we did, some of the better ones, and then the Oklahoma City Update, and that, of course, is interviews with Carol Howe's attorney, Clark Brewster. I think we have the only attorney with him. Carol Howe had actually infiltrated the white supremacist camp at Elohim City. And this was supposedly the right-wing militia. Oh, these terrible Christian identity people. Only the fellow who ran it, Reverend Millar, was an FBI informant, and his right-hand man, Strassmeyer, was probably working for some other intelligence unit, and Carol Howe was in intelligence, working for BATF, and almost everybody there was in intelligence of some sort. And when, of course, the government, BATF, wanted to go in and arrest Strassmeyer because he was planning on blowing up buildings, the Justice Department wouldn't let him do it. It's incredible, incredible information that you're going to get on these four tape sets. That's the Oklahoma City Update, and you'll hear the interview with of course, Clark Brewster, Carol Howe's attorney, and they were going to send this innocent woman to prison. Why? Because they didn't want her to testify at the Timothy McVeigh trial. They figured if she was discredited by being convicted, then nobody would believe that the government knew ahead of time what was going to happen and allowed those people to be killed. We could never let the American people know that. Or as Strassmeyer tells Ambrose Evans Pritchard, and you'll hear on the tape, why he tells Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who's the senior correspondent for the Sunday Times in London, you know, we can't tell the American people what really happened. They couldn't accept the truth. And it's an amazing, amazing four-tape set. You'll want to get that, and, of course, you can get the Oklahoma City special, all of our specials of that sort, $69.95, and we pay the postage. So information, so important for your history, and we have a number of other specials. We even had a video special with any five of the videos we have actually produced for $69.95. And, of course, we have other videos, if you haven't yet seen, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the three, the four, the 10-hour version, you need to get that. You'll actually hear some of these people, key people in the music industry, telling about how they sold their souls to the devil. Because, you see, that's really what this is all about. There really is organized evil in the world today, and they intend to kill off most of the world's population during our lifetime. And if we don't oppose them, why, they will be successful. So we hope that you'll want to get the They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll videos, the three, the four, the 10-hour version, the Megiddo videos, which we carry, the Megiddo 1, which is the history of prophecy from Daniel, right of the present day, and, of course, taking us into World War III, which we are involved in. In fact, the government is doing everything they can to turn the whole world against America. So in the coming war, America will stand alone. And if you don't think that they're going to reinstitute the draft, why, you probably believe, of course, we went into Iraq because Saddam Hussein was about to attack New York City, and we had to protect New York City. That's why we went to war. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, pull down our programs, pull down our newsletters. You can listen to them 5 hours a day, and then you can listen to the archive programs another 2 or 3 hours a day. Tell others about our ministry. And then if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why, give serious consideration to getting it, because it is the one book that will explain what's really going on, how you begin to collect all of the dots, or connect all of the dots. There's the book, the video, the audio tape, or all three together at the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, until, well, tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.